Next.
Who's up now?
Let's see. Looks like Larry.
Larry? Who's Larry?
Oh, somebody I knew from a million years ago.
Of course.
Episode 126, featuring Ron Adler Watt and Matt Robotham.
No, sorry, that's just not what we're looking for.
Yeah, we're... Well, our current voice guy is... Well, he's a little harsh. We're trying to move away from that. Something warmer, more friendly.
Okay, thank you.
Next.
Episode 126, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham.
Oh, God, next.
I don't know. I thought he was all right.
Warmer and more friendlier. Who's next?
Right here, bitches. Let's get this motherfucker started.
Sold.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, he spins records, and records are round just like the dough, so he can spin the dough. See? I mean, you know, it's not funny, but you know, I get it.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 126, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and...
Hey, what the... Turn off the music!
Is there a problem here?
You're damn right there's a problem here. You're horning out on my gig.
Fields, so help me God, I will fucking cut you.
This is my lab. All this equipment belongs to me. And those armed guards? Also mine.
I will fucking cut them too, I don't give a shit.
Jesse, honey, maybe you should back down.
Yeah, this isn't worth it.
All right. You're still gonna pay me though, right?
Of course.
Very well. Later, bitches.
Well?
Well, what?
Do you two have anything to say?
Get back to work?
Yeah, dude, we got a show to do.
Episode 126, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the other people who do voices. Apparently get paid for that. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
Hair and booze, anyway.
What?!
Yes! Hi! Hello!
How are everyone in the audience right now?
Right now.
I haven't done that one in a while.
No. You realize that we have this show and then one more and then we're in Clusterflunk already.
God, are we really that close to Clusterflunk?
Yeah, well, I mean, because we're doing shows, official shows every 2 weeks now, so that helps. But yeah, we're into November.
True, yeah.
And
Jesus.
Clusterflunk, we're going to go back to weekly for it. We're going to do, I think, 3, maybe 4, depending on how many people we get. Mm-hmm. But that will be through December. So, yeah. I wanted to mention that right now at the beginning. We're doing that a little differently this year. We hinted at this last year. We're going to do this Secret Santa style.
Yep.
Which is not as sick as it sounds. The word style doesn't always mean sex, you sickos.
Although it can.
It can, but in this case it doesn't. What it means is you send us a question, we put it in a pile, then we call you with someone else's question.
Yep.
That's it. That's how that goes. And we love hearing from our friends. We expect all the old people to participate. And if I don't hear from you, I will hound you. Mm-hmm. So save yourself the effort and just go ahead and...
Just agree to whatever we tell you.
Yeah, because damn it, you know. You're great on this show or we wouldn't be bothering you.
Yes.
But also, this is our opportunity to talk to people that we don't always get to talk to. Mm-hmm. People who maybe aren't super keen on making a podcast appearance or, you know... They only want to pop on for a couple of minutes or, you know, whatever. People are too busy. I mean, you know, the format of the show is a little different now. We don't really do guests so much anymore. So it's a good chance for us to talk to some people we don't usually get to talk to. So
yeah.
If you'd like to participate, we would love to hear from you. Just send us a question. Don't overthink the question. This is how everyone's going to not participate. They're going to say, I can't think of a good question. Just, it doesn't matter. Go.
It can be anything.
Yeah, anything at all. Coke or Pepsi. Fucking ask Coke or Pepsi. I don't care.
Don't all of you ask Coke or Pepsi.
I seriously don't care. If we get the same question 10 times, I'll just give it to 10 different people.
All right.
I will do, you know, I want to take the stress off of people because that's the main reason people don't participate in these things is they don't. I don't have a question. Well, just anything.
Yep.
Anything at all. The first question you see in your normal day.
Yep.
Write it down and send it to us.
Where's Idaho?
Yep. That's a question.
How can you type without boxing gloves on?
That would be an excellent question. Why is there that T in Connecticut that nobody, that C rather, in the middle of Connecticut that nobody pronounces?
Connecticut.
No, Connecticut.
Schenectady?
Yes, Schenectady. So just, you know, we will hit on this again and again and again. But just so you know, we are doing that soon, in two short episodes, and we would love to hear from all of you. If you're hearing our voices, we want you to participate.
Yep.
Except for you. We don't like you. But everyone else.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from. One other quick order of business. As far as the donations go, we're still taking those if you're interested. And the link will, as always, be on the website. I wanted to check in real quick on that, though. Of the money that we had intended to raise for Emerald City, we have now hit the 50% point.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have raised half the money we were looking to have. I didn't expect even 10%. So
no.
50% is awesome. If we got if from this point forward we get no more money and we just have to pay the rest out of our pockets, we can handle that.
Yeah, I'm still calling that a win.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming now. Now it's doable. You guys are amazing and we really appreciate it.
It's regular whelming.
Yes. It is not underwhelming nor overwhelming. It's just whelming.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
Yes, Jesus. Fuck.
Thank you.
We really do appreciate it. And we are now, as we speak, starting work on the various incentive things that as a donor you will receive.
Yes.
There are some publications, there are some CDs. There is
a lovely tote bag.
There is no tote bag. However,
you can take the many things you would like to tote in it.
No, there are no don't promise people tote bags or they're going to say, where's my tote bag? You know how these people can be.
Reminds me of tote bags.
Yes. Fine. If you want to donate, let's say $150, you could have a tote bag.
I mean, not a Sarcastic Voyage tote bag.
No, I'll just steal.
He'll just send you a tote bag.
No, I'm gonna break into my local NPR affiliate and take their tote bags. Those smug tote bag having jerks.
Think they're so great because they have all the tote bags.
Yeah, for little NPR, there would be no tote bag. But of course the donuts.
Yes.
And more than one person is getting a box of Algar's donuts. This is a thing that is actually happening for real. For those of you who have donated at that level, and I now have to put on, and I intend to put on a floppy white chef's hat and an apron and do it right. I'm not just going to go buy a box. I'm going to bake them in costume and everything. Because that's what you got to do, right?
Just activate my Algar chef costume.
Yes. And it might say, you know, I trying hard to cook on the apron, maybe.
It's a damn shame we don't sell those.
Well, if you keep running your mouth, we're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you say a new product, people are going to say, hey, where's that?
We'll put it on the tote bags.
Yes, that we stole from NPR.
That's right.
Yeah. Because screw you, Ira Glass. That's why.
He knows what he did.
He knows what he did. Now we know. Let's see. It was my birthday recently.
Yeah,
is
you're
that
old
a thing?
Now.
No, I'm 37. I'm not old. Thank you for the setup there.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. No, I'm going through, like, what do we have to talk about? That's not really a thing.
Nope.
For the first time in 5 years more, I didn't have an awful birthday. That's a thing, but it's not really.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I usually just, I get, and it's totally self-indulgent and horrible, and I feel bad about it that I'm moping. Oh, it's my birthday. But that's just how I've been the last couple of years. And this year, no, it didn't suck.
No.
So that was nice. Bought a coat. So,
ooh,
yeah, all right.
What kind of coat?
London Fog trench coat.
Ooh,
yeah, I am very pleased with it. I will post a picture on the show notes because I'm actually pretty happy with that.
I will post many pictures of myself modeling my London Fog coat.
I assure you, I will be wearing things underneath it because what am I, Dave? Come on.
That dude owns so many trench coats
with nothing underneath.
And none of them have ever touched actual clothing.
Oh, and I got myself one of them fancy new eye telephones.
Ooh.
I mention this because it has the crazy voice activation thing. It's got, it's called Siri. They gave it a stupid, like, proper name, like it's a girl. But the great thing is, it's sort of like carrying a Cleverbot around with me. And I can ask it questions, and it can tell me things, and it's fantastic.
It's everything you ever wanted.
It's nothing that I ever wanted. I do think soon, not this time, but soon, I'm going to pit it against Cleverbot. in that video where they're talking to each other, I'm going to have Siri talk to Cleverbot and have Cleverbot talk back. I think I can set that up. And I think it would be funny.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, and then they'd fall in love.
They might. And then my phone would shut itself off because it couldn't have its love that it wanted. And
no, then you would just, when you put, the next time you went to update it, update it by plugging it into the computer, it would download and disappear.
Yep. Well, except it doesn't plug into the computer now. It's got wireless syncing. So.
Damn.
Yeah. But let's, I might cut this part out because it hasn't been working lately. But let's give it a try now, just for the hell of it.
Well, all right.
Coke or Pepsi?
I don't see Gav Pepsi in your contacts. Did you mean Gav Brown?
For those of you who couldn't understand that, I didn't see Gav Pepsi in your contacts. Did you mean Gav Brown?
Somebody's got a new nickname.
Yeah. So now Gav Pepsi, that's your name. So I think that's enough of that. I don't want to run that into the ground.
That will definitely come up every time we're starved for material in the weeks to come.
The thing is, I have a new toy that talks sitting right in front of me and have a microphone in front of me, and it's hard not to put those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I'm wired. Let's see what else. Oh, Beavis and Butthead are back. That's the other thing I wanted to mention.
Yes. Exciting news.
You haven't had a chance to see it yet, I know.
I haven't.
I haven't seen the second one yet, but the first one. The thing I wanted to mention real quick, the show has taken sort of a different perspective now, and I love it. They're watching some music videos, but they're also watching the awful reality shows that are on MTV now. And the great thing about that is they're now smarter than what they're watching.
That is an unexpected turn.
Yeah, and it's great because it used to be they were kind of in over their depth and they didn't really get what was going on. And now they're more intelligent than the actual shows. The quote that we opened the show with this week with Beavis just cracks me the hell up every time I think of it.
I didn't even see the episode, and that makes me laugh.
Yeah, and you just had me describing it to you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get it. And there's a bit where one of the, I don't know, Snooki or Suki or whatever the hell. No, Suki is True Blood. It's Snooki.
Yeah.
Snooki, something like that. I don't watch these shows. I don't know. She's talking about how, she's going to teach her grandchildren. Her grandchildren are going to say, "How do you know how to make pizza?" And she'll say, "Bitch, I learned in wherever." Really? You're gonna call your grandkids bitch? they're kind of snarky and judgmental and just a little smarter than what they're watching. I love it.
It's a nice take on that, you know?
Yeah, if you're bringing them back, it's a different angle. I think it's great. It's
because I mean, there's no way that they could do the music video thing anymore.
Well, they're doing some videos because MTV does, for all everyone's complaining, they do sometimes show videos, just not nearly the way they used to.
No, I don't know. We don't even have MTV up here.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, we see videos on YouTube. Musicians are still making music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And MTV does still show them from time to time. Before, they used to show them pretty much nonstop, and now they show them for a few hours a day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, they watch some of that, but they also watch whatever's on MTV, the reality shows. There's one about a guy who's addicted to porn that's pretty great, too. Where they just talk about, I think basically the point of the sketch was that they can say the word porn. Porn.
Wait, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I know not everyone out there is a fan. I know not everyone really gets that show, and I'm not going to try to sell you on it, but I will say that, it's smarter than you think it is.
It's back, and it's still worth watching.
Yeah, it's that show makes me laugh in a way that much more sophisticated humor never can.
Mm.
It gets me in that very involuntary belly laugh kind of way.
Yep.
That no other show can do. Definitely worth your time. And I think that's about all I had. These opening segments are just us kind of blah blah blah. I don't know. Anything going on in your life? What's in the news, Matt?
Russell. Well, I continue to work at the bookstore.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
It's good. It's, it works out really well.
Yeah. You're working a lot, I know.
I am definitely working a lot, which
we've had less time to work on the show.
Inconvenient to the show.
I was going to start berating you for that, and then you show me your schedule, and it's like, no, you're just never home.
No, I work a lot.
Yeah, which, I guess that's good. I don't know. I don't like working, so I couldn't.
I don't like working either, but as a person trying to, you know, turn his life into something, it's probably a good thing.
I suppose.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know. Listen, I just turned 37 and my life still isn't anything, and I'm oddly at peace with that.
It's not anything, but it's something. I want something.
Yeah. It's not much of anything, really.
You don't live in a converted garage. You have a house now.
Well, that's true. I do have a
house. Your own keys and credit cards.
No, they won't give me credit cards. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. But I do have an iPhone that talks.
Well, that's what I want.
You want an iPhone that talks.
I have no interest in that.
Yeah, but some kind of technology that you don't need.
I want a little robot that lives in my pocket that talks to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think as we end this segment, let's ask Siri one more time. Are you trying hard to cone? She's thinking about it.
I don't understand hard to cone. Did you mean cone brown?
Just a second. No comment is what she says. You're worse than Cleverbot.
At least he tries.
Let's see. All right, then.
Fine, be that way.
So, with that, we're going to play some bits for you. So we will be right back. Over 30 years ago, a legend began. Now, on Blu-ray, see it again for the first time.
The cheat here tells me you're looking for Passage to Alderaan.
Homestar Wars, remastered, recut, and recast for a new generation.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Oh, why? These aren't the droids I'm looking for.
We can just go about our business.
You can go about your business. Move it along.
All your favorite scenes. I am your father!
No, you're my brother.
That's not true! That's impossible! All six movies.
Hey, yous are people gonna die!
Power! Unlimited power!
How did my father die?
Thank you for your grandation of Darky and the Straw, Myrtle Beth.
I had no choice. They arrived right before you did.
Bubs, did you sell us out to the Empire?
Grab a donk!
Buy yours today. That was
why are we in space? There's no reason for us to be in space.
So be it, Jedi. If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed. Ow, 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 ow.
No!
You didn't say no there. You changed it.
Where my hand is at.
One fine day, a very long time ago, last Friday, I believe, Christopher decided to go out for a walk in the woods.
Good gracious, I certainly do enjoy an afternoon stroll.
Christopher had been walking in the woods for quite a time when he saw a most unusual sight down by the old stout willow tree.
Why, it's some sort of small piggish creature. What a thing!
Startled, the great boar reared upon its hind hooves, steam flowing from its furious nostrils, its blood-red eyes reflecting the fury of Hades itself, and galloped into the dark wood to commit unspeakable acts of desperate hunger.
There he goes, over the hill.
His pulse barely stirring above its normal rate, Christopher regarded the incident with a tilt of his head and moved onward.
Hello, more happening.
At that time, an emaciated rabbit stumbled nervously from nearby foliage.
Hello, rabbit, isn't that you? Hello, owl, isn't that you also?
Just then, a great owl swooped down from out of the gray sky, catching the terrified little rabbit in its razor-sharp talons. Christopher further observed the owl's sharp beak plunging into the rabbit's soft underbelly, tearing up long bloody strips of flesh and eating them with every sign of great relish.
What a lot of blood for such a small rabbit!
Growing bored with the tedium of nature, Christopher resolved to return home, only to find that he was now rather turned around.
Oh dear, I appear to have become quite lost.
The boy walked for hours in one direction, hoping to come upon some sign of civilization, when he came at last to a rickety bridge over a river of violent and treacherous rapids.
What luck! A man-made structure!
And upon the bridge stood an old donkey.
Hello, old donkey. Perhaps I can ride you to safety.
But alas, the old donkey was overcome by depression and hurled itself into the raging river below.
That was unexpected.
And so Christopher wandered deeper and deeper into the foreboding wood. The dark skies that had threatened snow for so long split, dropping white flakes on the gray earth.
I had best find shelter soon, or I shall surely perish, alone and unloved in this wilderness.
Christopher came upon an old bent oak tree, heavy with age and black from lightning strikes. Deep-set claw marks of indeterminate origin ran along the base of the great tree.
It looks safe.
At that time, quite without warning, Christopher was violently mauled by a ferocious bear. And that was the last time Christopher Robin ever visited the Hundred Acre Wood.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time, well, I'll level with you guys, I don't really recall much since I went for that beer when that smlown fellow turned up. Well, I say that beer. Anyway, let's just see what the idiots are up to now.
So as we now own Nick Hall, we want you out so we can have our company's lodge.
Yes, we want to signify out with the old and then with the new.
Willikins, how did this happen? I can't remember.
Yes, sir, it's like we missed an episode. That sound reminds me of my dear mother's harp playing shortly before she passed.
Oh, it's really always me with you, isn't it, Willikins?
I believe it's your cell phone, Nag.
And Kankenstein. Apparently it's some guy by the name of Announcer. He said he'll try to get back the missing day, but it might take him a few seconds.
Well, that solves that then, doesn't it, sir?
A whole few seconds? I'm so bored!
Meanwhen, a day earlier... Meanwhen? Meanwhen? Who wrote this?
Willikins! Willikins!
Oh, good. I was afraid I was going to have too much time to myself.
I want you to draw me 1,000 ninjas, and also where's my toy?
I beg your pardon, sir. Oh, the homicidal clown, of course.
I gave it to you to wash, but that was 2 weeks ago now.
And don't they just fly by when I'm having fun? I put him in the industrial washing machine.
There it is. Funny, it's a lot bigger than I remember.
It's me, Errol, you imbecile. Oh, I was settling down for a Barclays, wasn't I? That little bleeder put me in one of them there clown costumes and threw me in there.
What fun. I haven't played dress-up since Uncle Stephen was here.
I believe he's Uncle Alice now.
Explains a lot, that does.
Or is it Uncle Alexandra?
No! Uncle Alexandra used to take me tortoise hunting.
And now we're back to explaining nothing.
Meanwhile, outside Nick Hall...
Say, Brent... Is this one of those old English castles, like from the Jurassic era or something?
Wow, that's really awesome.
Can you imagine Buckingham Palace being that size?
I can't imagine anything being bigger than that. Hey, who's this?
Greetings, gentlemen. I couldn't help but notice you being admiring my castle. I'm Lord Smlown of Nick Hall.
Your Highness, I am Ben Benovitz, and this is my colleague Hank.
My liege.
We're both the CEOs of Paradigm Corp Enterprises. We just love your castle, and well, Hank and I have been talking.
We like to talk.
Talking's what we do. We love to use your castle for our company's launch.
But it's the seat of my ancestry, dating all the way back to Chief McSmlown, so I could never sell. Though if you were to make it worth my while... We'll make it financially worth your while, Your Majesty. What the hell would I want with money? Oh, get me 78 Curly Whirly chocolate bars. I believe you people used to know them as marathons. And no, the irony is not lost on me.
Of course, Your Excellency. Sir, if I may ask why?
Well, it is beneath me to answer your mundane question, you peasant. But I shall. Because I can.
Later, in the Hall of in Nick Hall.
So as we now own Nick Hall, we want you out so we can have our company's lodge.
Yes, but we want to signify out with the old and in with the new.
Willikins, how did this happen? I can't remember.
Yes, sir, it's like we missed an episode. No, we're not doing that again.
It happened because of me.
Hooray, at least my puppet's here.
I'm not a puppet. Do you see a hand up my arse? And so help me if you fucking look. Porkers! And now I must leave. Porkers away!
Quite eccentric, these English lords, aren't they?
Anyway, we shan't move, shall we, Willikins? Chain yourself to the mantelpiece.
Sir?
You heard me. We must fight the rich classes and stand up for the little people.
To you, sir, irony is just something everyone else does, isn't it?
Well, you guys can stay in here if you want. But I'm pretty sure you want to move when the rocket goes up.
Oh, goody, there's a rocket. Why did you never do that? I want to fly off in a rocket, Willikins.
Oh, believe me, sir, I've thought of it many times.
The rocket's gonna come right out of the ground, destroy the old castle, and go out into the newness of space.
You are aware that space is 14 billion years old, aren't you?
Is that 1,000 million or 1,000,000,000?
We'd love to find out, but it's gonna get mighty hot around here.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
But you can stop standing around and free yourself. This is no time to be lazy.
But, sir, I need your key.
Oh, that? I thought it was out with the packaging. I did recycle, though.
Why does Nick have a pair of handcuffs? What is a billion? Do we ever answer these questions? Find out the answers to these questions and more in the next exciting installment of The Adventures of Nick and Willikins.
And a packet of chips, too, so that's $1.95.
I never seen someone with a calculator on their head before.
Well, that's about all it's good for now. Sorry, I'm Lobot. I just opened the store here.
Lobot? That an East European name?
Bespin, actually.
Bespin? Oh, hey, ain't you from those sci-fi movies, what are they called now? Star Treks.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Well, that was it. My nephew really used to like them, but now it's all about Avatar these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I never watched it. It was too hyped.
What brings you to Arkansas?
Things just weren't the same after we defeated the Empire. With the new Senate and all those laws and health and safety and all, you knew where you were with the Empire, but that was a long time ago now.
In a galaxy far, far away?
It wasn't that far.
Well, a science fictional movie character right here in my hometown. Wait till I tell Annabeth.
Nah, there's a few of us around. The alien from Alien 3 runs a burger place across the street.
Hey, you! Get out of my shop! Yes, you! I told you once.
Sorry about that.
Hey, wasn't that E.T.? Aw, I like that little critter.
Oh, he knows what he did.
In 2011, the world lay on the brink of economic ruin.
Gentlemen, the fast food industry's being run into the ground, and I know why.
One man had the vision, the drive, the chutzpah to turn all that around.
We've been giving away free ketchup for too long. Condiment freeloaders are ruining this company.
His name was Roy McBurgerty.
From now on, we charge each customer 15 cents per ketchup packet. That's what's going to put McBurgerty's back in the black.
His revolutionary actions created an economic empire that spans the globe and rescued this country from its own opulence.
No more free ketchup. Who's with me?
New for fall 2019, SVN is proud to present Roy McBurgerty, the man who saved the economy.
And we're back.
Wasn't that a lovely series of bits you just heard?
So many of them.
I bet you were thinking, what a great thing. The only thing that can prove this is a wad of mail.
Yes, and as it happens, we have a wad of mail.
Aren't you lucky?
An entire wad. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now, and like, that sure is a wad of mail.
Webster's Dictionary defines the wad as a bunch of stuff shoved in a ball.
Matt, you know, Webster's Dictionary is used for padding. We don't need to pad this show. We have more stuff than we know what to do with.
That's true.
So leave your Webster's Dictionary at home.
But then what if I need to define a word?
Well, then it's right there conveniently in your home.
I guess that's true.
All right. Our first email comes from Jonah Luckett, and he says, Dear Ronald Wattington and Matthew Robothingham. All right. I do believe that Marvel is better than DC. I know that you disagree. Do I?
I do.
I respect your opinion, but I regret to inform you that you are incorrect. Anyway, who's your favorite obscure Marvel character? P.S. Mine is Darkhawk because he kicks bottom, really. Or maybe Red Raven, because in 1939 he was the first Marvel timely hero. Oh god, this is putting me to sleep.
My favorite character is Blue Devil. Thanks for writing.
I don't think Marvel is better than DC. I don't compare them because it ain't healthy.
Yeah, that's
my standard answer for anything. Don't compare yourself, it ain't healthy.
Yeah.
And you know, while we're talking about questions about comic book characters, we get this voicemail, rather, from our pal Scott Sioko. And I love hearing from Scott. Scott's a great guy. That said, this voicemail would actually take up the next 3 episodes if I played it in its entirety. I won't be doing that. But let's have a listen to, say, the first, I don't know, 17 minutes of it here.
Okay, so it's 1992, and Steve Ditko is just done with comics. He is just done with it. He's tired of it. He's tired of creating characters like Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and just not getting anything for it. And just he's just burnt out. He's tired. He's tired of feeling like comics have used and abused him. He's done. He's a recluse. He doesn't want anything to do with the industry anymore. So he does a pretty good job of keeping himself isolated and separated from the industry, except there's this one over-anxious Marvel assistant editor who just happens to have Steve Ditko's number and is calling him every day. Hello, Mr. Ditko. It's Steve at Marvel. We would really love it if you drew just one more story for us, Steve. I mean, we really would appreciate it. And he's calling and calling and calling, and Steve's just letting it go to the machine. He's like, I don't want to deal with this guy anymore. Finally, after calling for about 1,562 times, Steve Ditko answers the phone. Hello? Yes.
Okay, that's the first 60 seconds of what is seriously a 5-minute voicemail from Scott Sioko. It's about Squirrel Girl, apparently. This is, I guess, a character?
Yes.
In a comic book, in a funny book, in one of those...
Yep, one of those comic books the kids are so up on.
Yeah, I get this rep for not liking comics, and it's pretty much because I can't talk about them for, you know, sustained periods of time like some people can, like this. I can't. Scott, I'm glad you're positive. I'm glad you're trying to call us and not tell us you hated something. It's good to hear you in a good mood, but really, come on, dude. I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. Do people care about Squirrel Girl? Is this something anyone cares about at all?
People apparently like Squirrel Girl quite a bit now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Let me get it straight. She's a girl with the power of a squirrel.
That's right.
Is it ironic?
I don't think so. She's kind of cute.
She meant to be taken seriously?
No.
Okay. Well, that explains it then. It's irony. It's hipster irony.
Yes.
Very well. So, Scott, you're a hipster. Your sister hates you now.
See, that doesn't work, though, because she dressed as Squirrel Girl for Dragon Con.
For what?
Oh, excuse me. Dragon Con.
That's right. I can't hear it unless you say it right.
I know.
It's a condition I have. I don't know. Do you have any response? Because you're the comics guy. I apparently hate them, so.
I like Squirrel Girl.
Well, he says that Steve Ditko, blah, 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 something.
Steve
something,
Ditko did invent her.
She no, he didn't, Dr. apparently.
Doom. Oh, really?
No, the writer apparently did. I don't know.
Oh, whatever. He drew her.
Yeah. Next question comes from John Wiggins, and he says, good morrow to you, sirs, of all the obscure comic book. God damn it.
Really? Another one?
Listen, we played you a sample last week of our pal Pat Loika's show. Fine show. He talks about comics. It is a comic-based show. We like comics, okay, but this is not a comics show. You don't have to only write to us about comics. Please, come on.
Did you just tell our audience to go bother Pat?
Yes. Yes, I did. Go bother Pat. Of all the obscure comic book heroes, which one do you pray they never have a movie made of them? I don't know. The Punisher, because they've already had 17 Punisher movies.
Yeah, and a TV series that came and went, apparently.
Did it?
Yeah, they were trying to make a, for like 10 minutes on Fox, they were trying to make a Punisher TV series where he was a cop or something. It apparently didn't work out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hope they never make a Squirrel Girl movie.
I don't hope that.
Because I'm tired of hearing about her, honestly. I've heard more than I ever need to hear about Squirrel Girl, ever. Also not easy to say, Squirrel Girl.
Nope.
Next one comes from Deke, and he says,
who's your favorite comic character and what?
Coke, comic Coke or comic Pepsi? What's the comic book haps? How did you guys know about my hook thumbs? It's hard to have hook thumbs because sometimes you can't hit the space bar. Anyway, Matt's description of rodeo has made me reconsider. He said it was a bunch of drunken idiots torturing cows. I used to hate the idea of it, but ever since he's described it as such, I found a new dream. I'm going to start my own rodeo. I feel that the rodeo would really draw more of the crowd I'm looking for, drunken idiots, if the Sarcastic Voyage cast were able to participate in it. So, Al, Matt, which events will you do with the Deke Winsome Memorial Rodeo? A. Fitting, in which cows are humiliated by you as you put them in ugly dresses. B. Tying, in which you compete against other cowboys and seeing who can tie a knot in a cow's penis the fastest, or your own. C. Roping, in which cowboys jump rope whilst shouting obscenities at cows. D. Rodeo Queen contest, in which you dress like Queen but with a cowboy hat and do something with cows. As always, your devoted fan / Overlord Deke. P.S. Yes, I know cows don't have penises. I think it's sexist that you judge them by that. Yeah, we got a couple of Junior Encyclopedia Browns out there telling us that cows don't have penises. Yes, we know.
It's called humor.
I mean, I hate, you know, when our jokes get in the way of facts, and we are, of course, a fact-based show.
Yeah, exactly. That was the original plan when we started this out, was to be a, if nothing else, a topical, factual program.
Yes, to read to you from Webster's Dictionary and to talk about nothing but comics all the time.
Yep.
Because that is the only thing either of us is interested in.
You know, Webster's Dictionary defines the lemur as a comic book character.
Oh, Christ. You know, I don't mean for us to be so negative. I really don't. But this week, you guys are just kind of pissing us off.
Yeah. Candy corn is gross.
I feel like I got to balance out the beginning of the show where we're, you know, we're happy and we're, you know, you're giving us money and, you know. That's the dichotomy of the show. Yep. Webster's Dictionary defines dichotomy as a word I just made up.
Webster's Dictionary defines dichotomy as a lemur that...
All right. The next one is actually a voicemail, and it comes... speaking of Batman villains, comes apparently from Mr. Zazz.
Hello, Sarcastic Voyage. This is noted Batman villain Mr. Zazz. I apparently have a lot of free time on my hands right now because I'm waiting for Batman to get me a payphone so I can call him and regale him with a tale of me having gambling problems. At the time, I thought it was a fairly ingenious way of taunting him, but there are several flaws in my plan, mainly the scarcity of payphones nowadays. Have you noticed the scarcity of payphones, Sarcastic Voyage? I have. Why, just the other day, I was at the Gotham City Mini Mall, waiting at the Orange Julius for my friend Edward Nigma, and I was thinking, gee, I would much rather go to the pretzel time and have a pretzel-covered hot dog and an orange slushy. I wanted to call Edward Nigma and tell him about this new plan, but I didn't have my cell phone on me. So I looked desperately for a payphone, but none were to be found. Anyway, I think Batman's finally coming out of the Iceberg Lounge, so I better hurry up and call the nearest payphone. Talk to you later, Sarcastic Voyage.
Mr. Zazz, noted payphone enthusiast.
Hang on, I'm tracing the call.
Yeah.
Tracing.
Yeah.
Wait.
I
lost it.
Oh, okay. I bet it came from a payphone.
He does like payphones. That's a well-established part of his character.
Apparently. He's a brutal murderer, and he likes payphones. It's a street corner telephone parlor. Yeah, I got nothing.
How convenient.
It's a suicide booth. No, I mean, you're right, Mr. Zazz. Payphones are not, there aren't, I haven't actually seen one in years, to be honest.
No, they're still around if you know where to look.
I don't know where to look, apparently. I've seen there's a phone booth nearby, but there's no phone in it. It's
well, the
just
phone is always ripped out by vagrants.
Yeah, exactly. Because they want to urinate in it.
What do vagrants need with a payphone? With a payphone?
I don't know. What does God need with a starship?
What a good question. Excuse me? Vagrant? Yeah. I have a question. What do you need with a payphone?
Who are you?
All right, then.
Next one comes from Jackson, and he writes, "Dear Sarcastic Voyagers, I recently listened to your Secret Emergency episode about Batman, and I was impressed by the overwhelming enthusiasm and on Matt's end encyclopedic knowledge about the adventures of the Caped Crusader. Have you ever considered doing a YouTube series reviewing Batman the Animated Series, similar to Algar's Transformers videos, or for that matter, a Batman podcast? Sincerely yours, Jackson." Funny you should mention that.
Yeah, odd that.
And I do think this was a genuine coincidence. We discussed this, I think, about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hold us to this, but, you know, you're going to have to remember or make a note in your Webster's Dictionary.
Write it down.
In your copybooks. When we finished the Post-Atomic Horror, which, at this point, we have just started doing Star Trek The Next Generation. We still have to do all the movies. So all 7 seasons, the movies. Deep Space Nine, which had 7 seasons. Voyager, which had 7 seasons. And I guess
that
if we really want to be serious about it, also Enterprise, which had 4 seasons, we may or may not do that. So that will put us in, I think, like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we've given serious consideration to doing a Bruce Timm, starting with Batman, going through Superman, Batman Beyond, Justice League, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I would very much like to do that.
I would too.
But right now, we have quite a lot on our plates.
Yeah.
Our plates are full of podcasts.
Our plates runneth over.
Yeah. Webster's Dictionary defines our plates as being full of podcasts. All right. Next one comes from our pal Irish Gav, and he says, incidentally, Irish Gav's coming to Emerald City, I found out today. And
which
I'm really,
is
really
super exciting.
Yeah, it is. One of my favorite people on the planet is going to be here, and also Gav.
Yes.
See, I was talking about Smile.
I know.
Actually, I just stole that joke from English Gav. It's like, well, of course, if my best friend is going, then I'll try to make it. Also, I guess Irish Gav's going. All right. He says, "Dearest Matt and Algar, I recently saw an article on words in the English language that are dying out, supposedly from Twitter and text speak. One of them is smite. Smite's a great word. Admittedly, I prefer smote, whether it exists or not. Anyway, I just thought I'd write to you, and hopefully you and your listeners can bring these words back. Yours, lauded in tomfoolery, Irish Gav." And he provides a link, which we will happily share with you.
Is smite going away? I still use smite fairly regularly.
Yeah, verily. I use smite all the fucking time.
Indeed.
The thing is, you will not find someone who spends more time on Twitter than I.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, vast amounts of things to say on Twitter, and I use a lot of these words. Looking at the list now. Felicitations, I've used that. Rambunctious, I've used that. Verily, I just said verily, and I wasn't even going to look at the list yet. Salutations, betwixt, I definitely use betwixt.
I mean, I get that, like, certain words are going away because of internet speak. Like, that's been...
Happening. I don't think that the English language has a finite space. I think people can
it's
use...
running out of words.
I think, you know, like, I don't really LOL, but swell? I just said something was swell today.
Yeah.
Tomfoolery. Yeah, these are all words that might be sort of old-timey, but I don't think they're going anywhere.
No.
But we will provide a link and, I don't know, extra points to people who use these words in letters to us, and extra bonus points if they're not about comics.
Mm-hmm.
Tomfoolery
is a must.
Of course. Tom Servo is optional.
Tomfoolery is less needed.
Yeah. Tom can handle his own foolery. He doesn't need your help. All right. The next one is, it's a voice thing, so this may take a second. Comes from the devil, apparently, from Lucifer.
Ah!
Haven't heard from him in a while, yeah. Let's see.
Hi, guys, it's me, Lucifer. Oh, I gotta thank you for getting rid of that clown, Schmown. Oh, hell is finally mine. And not only that, you left me your podcast set up, so now I can actually have Hell's Radio blasting and infuriating people all over. You don't know how hard it was to really torture people with roving polka bands, but you do what you can. And the fourth wall, you've broken it. I can go wherever I want. Thank you. I may even turn up with, you know, your reality or something, because... Okay, Matt. Yes, I was fictional. Someone's stupid idea. But now, you've broken the fourth wall. I can come and visit you guys. I can be real! You know what? I'm just going to go to Enterprise and torture Archer. I'll leave the Beagle alone. It's cute, I give you that. But Archer's soul is mine! Sorry, I get a bit demonic sometimes. So anyway, thank you so much. No. I got rid of all puppets in hell. You're not supposed to be here. Oh, put the knife down. You can't kill me. I'm the devil. Okay, good point. You can hurt me, but you can't. No. My balls. No. Fourth wall. Get to the fourth wall.
What's this? Ooh. Yeah. Hi, I'm Elmo. That didn't tickle the devil at all. Hell's now mine, bitches.
Well, politics of hell are complicated.
Disturbing news from hell.
Yeah, I guess we're your one-stop shop for hell news, so...
What other podcast can say that?
None. Well, just ours in Tennessee. I don't know where that came from. Tom Waits checking in, apparently.
Good to know.
Yeah. Next one comes from Flonk, and he says, Dear Alan Matt, how's your butt? You know, I want to get angry at this, but at least it's not asking me how Spider-Man's butt is, so I'm happy about that.
No, but well, I'm sure we can look forward to that in the next couple of weeks.
My butt is fine, Flonk. Thank you for asking. And thank you for not asking about comics or Squirrel Girl, because Jesus.
Yeah, my butt appreciates the attention, Flonk.
Yeah, it does. All right, we got one final voicemail here. I'll just open this here.
Ah!
Hello, Sarcastic Voyage. It's Mr. Saz again, waiting around for Batman to swing by a payphone. I don't know why it's taking him so long. It's not like he has anything better to do. Sometimes I have to question the logistics of my plan. You know, my friend Edward Nygma just dropped bowling trophies all over the area of Arkham City. Perhaps I should have just dropped cell phones around and this process would be expedited. Oh, sometimes I don't think ahead. I do like to think aloud, if you couldn't tell. I like to go through my processes out loud. Why, even just the other day, I was at the supermarket trying to decide which cereal I wanted, either Cocoa Puffs or Fruity Pebbles. It's not the cereal itself that I'm looking at, but the aftertaste and the milk it leaves. Do I want artificial chocolate or artificial fruit in my homogenized 1%? But anyway, I think Batman's approaching. I'll talk to you later, Sarcastic Voyage.
I kind of like this version of Mr. Zazz.
Just to sum up, we're friends to the devil, to, I guess, Elmo, now leader of hell, and the brutal killer Mr. Zazz. Mm-hmm. All friends of the show.
None of whom I have noticed are putting reviews of the show on iTunes.
No, and I gotta say, I miss Jerry Seinfeld.
Maybe someday.
Oh, Christ. All right, so that's all we got for this week. As I have mentioned, Clusterflonk is coming up. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you want to ask questions about comics, go ahead. I'll make someone else answer them. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, it'll work out great.
Maybe let up, you know, and I'm not even saying don't ever ask us stuff about that, because we know about these things, but we also know other things. We have dreams. We're people. We could talk about other things. We could talk about, I don't know, farms.
Sure. Cloth.
Socks.
Towels.
Oh god, that Smurf's still looking at me. I gotta go, we're gonna stop talking now.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, with Gab Brown, Gav Drury, Brian Lynch, Kevin Lynch, Jesse Schutz, Amanda Smith, Sabrina Snyder, and as himself, Malvern Smlown. It was written by Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, Gav Brown, Brian Lynch, and Kevin Lynch. I am your announcer, not those wannabes, and don't you ever forget it. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.